This is Carol Kosovar looking at education on KALW, and I'm at Clarendon Elementary School, where the Japanese Bilingual Bicultural Program is. And it's a pretty fitting place to be interviewing two authors of a brand new book about Fred Korematsu Speaks Up. Joining me are Laura Atkins and Stan Yogi. And Stan, a lot of people might have heard about Fred Korematsu, but give us the story.
So Fred Korematsu was 23 years old in 1942. He was living in Oakland, and he had planned to marry his Italian-American fiancée, Ida Boitano, and then Japan bombed Pearl Harbor. And all Japanese-Americans and Japanese immigrants were forced to leave their homes on the West Coast and into prison camps. And Fred Korematsu refused to go. And he was arrested for doing so. He challenged that arrest, and his case went all the way up to the United States Supreme Court, which unfortunately in 1944 ruled against him. But 40 years later, Fred, through researchers, discovered evidence that during World War II, government attorneys had actually lied to the United States Supreme Court and said that they had documentation that Japanese Americans were sending signals and messages to Japanese ships in the Pacific, even though they knew that that was not true. So with that new evidence, Fred Korematsu reopened his case, and his conviction was overturned by a federal judge here in San Francisco. And he spent the rest of his life speaking out against injustices, telling audiences around the country about his case and how fragile our civil rights and civil liberties are, especially during times of crisis and war.
So, Laura, why is this story important now and this book?
Well, especially talking to young people feels critical at this moment, to engage with what's going on in the world, to see other examples of people who have spoken up for justice. The book is part of a series, the Fighting for Justice series, which will profile different people who fought for civil rights in California history. So it feels like exactly the audience we want to be reaching. We've spoken now to, I think, 2,300 kids so far since the book launched on January 30th at more than a dozen schools throughout the Bay Area. It's been inspiring for us to get to see the amazing work that teachers and young people are already doing. And we've got to hear from young people who are speaking up. So, for instance, we spoke at the Fred Korematsu Elementary School in Davis, California. And at the end, we had three girls come up who told us that their mosque had been vandalized in Davis. But they told us about this with such pride because what they had done is raised money at the school to pay for repairs. And their teacher showed, you know, was so proud to bring them up and to see how their community had supported them. It was an incredibly moving experience for me and Stan to get to see that. And it's just happening in lots of different ways at schools. We're getting to see art that kids have created to show what they would want to stand up for and protest for. So it feels like actually an honor for us to get to see what's already happening in the Bay Area, but to then also share Fred Korematsu's story with young people.
So, Stan, what is it that sort of inspired you to do this? I mean, it's such a timely book, but not everyone sits down and writes a book.
Mm-hmm. Well, Fred Korematsu is a personal hero of mine. I first heard him speak when I was a college student at UCLA around 1983, soon after his conviction had been overturned. And I was impressed with him not because of his story, but also because of him as a person, because he was not a really tall man or a big man or a loud man. And your listeners can't see me, but I'm not tall, I'm not big, I'm not usually very loud. But he showed me that anybody could make a difference in the world if they spoke up for what they believed in. And especially during these times when people in the country are divided and fearful and afraid that we're going to be attacked. Fred Korematsu's story, I think, is inspiration for us today that we can fight back, we can organize. And this particular book in the series actually came about from another book that I co-wrote, a book for adults called Wherever There's a Fight, How Runaway Slaves, Suffragists, Immigrants, Strikers, and Poets Shape Civil Liberties in California. And the publisher, the former publisher of Heyday Books, our publisher, Fred Korematsu Speaks Up, came up with the idea of doing a children's version of Wherever There's a Fight, and that morphed into this Fighting for Justice series.
Let me just remind you, this is Carol Kosovar looking at education on KALW. And joining me are Laura Atkins and Stan Yogi, who are the authors of a new book, Fred Korematsu Speaks Up. And it's about, it's an inspiring story about a young guy who grew up in the Bay Area and felt discrimination and said, you know what, I'm not going to take it. So, Laura, why don't you give us a little flavor of the book?
Okay, this is a section after Fred Korematsu has been arrested and when he has a visitor appear in jail. Fred is taken to a meeting room.
So we have to get this picture. Here's a guy who hadn't done anything wrong in his whole life. The only thing that he was arrested for was being Japanese and not wanting to go to prison because he was Japanese.
That's right. And he wanted to be with his girlfriend. He was born in the United States. He'd studied the Constitution. He knew he should have the same rights as everybody else, his other friends. So Fred is taken to a meeting room. A young man in a gray suit shakes Fred's hand and introduces himself as Ernest Bessig, a lawyer. "I would like to help you," he says. Fred can't afford a lawyer, but Ernest says he will not charge any money. He works for the American Civil Liberties Union and read about Fred in the newspapers. He hopes that Fred will fight the case against him, which will also mean challenging the imprisonment of all Japanese Americans as unconstitutional. Ernest tells Fred that the fight could take a long time, with little chance of winning, because there is so much discrimination against people who look like Fred. Is he willing? Fred thinks about it. He doesn't want to go to the prison camp, but more than that, he knows that what the government is doing is not fair. He decides to fight. Fred says yes.
So he's given a decision point in his life, and it's either stand back and take it or say, yes, I'm going to fight it. And it took a long time, didn't it, Stan?
It did. And during World War II, when Fred made that decision to challenge in court the constitutionality of the mass imprisonment of Japanese Americans, his family was not supportive of that decision, and most Japanese Americans were not supportive of that decision because the community, for the most part, made the decision that we need to show our loyalty to the United States, and the way to do that is to cooperate with the authorities. But Fred, as Laura said, studied the Constitution and knew that as an American citizen, it was a violation of his rights as well as the rights of other Japanese Americans. So it was a very long journey for him. As I said earlier, his case worked its way all the way up to the United States Supreme Court, which unfortunately ruled 6-3 against him. They accepted the government's contention that there was a quote-unquote military necessity, which in today's language would translate into national security reason for imprisoning this whole group of people, even though they had done nothing wrong. But Fred, as I said earlier, wasn't vindicated. In his when he reopened his case, it was the same time that Japanese Americans were organizing to lobby the federal government for monetary redress for being improperly imprisoned. And if he had lost his case, if Fred had lost his reopened case, it would have set that movement back. So he took another risk in reopening his case in the early 1980s.
So when you go to these schools and talk to kids, what kinds of questions do they have?
Gosh, they have questions. They have a lot of comments, too. They want to share their stories. We just spoke at Park Day School, and there was a girl whose grandmother had been at Tanforan, where Fred Korematsu also was imprisoned. And she wanted to tell us about that. We have questions. So in addition to the poetic biography that I read, we have these sort of historically rich image-driven insets where we have a lot of other information. And the kids want to share and also learn from us about Japanese American incarceration. I think we have kids, some who haven't heard about it, reacting with real surprise at what happened. We talk about how if you had a pet, you couldn't bring your pet to the camps. That the bathrooms didn't originally have dividers between them. We show a picture from the book that was created by an artist who was in the prison camp where there are no doors in front of the stalls. So I think those kinds of specific details help kids really think in their own lives, what would it be like to find out that you had to leave your homes and leave your pets behind and take care of all of your belongings and be basically shunned and ostracized and put into prisons with very little time to prepare? So it's a powerful story, and some kids know more about it than others.
And speaking up, why do you think that this book is so timely today?
Well, because of the reaction that most people in the Bay Area, I think, have had to the election of Donald Trump as president of the United States and the policies that he has implemented in these first, you know, few months of his administration, targeting Muslims, targeting immigrants, targeting other vulnerable groups. And so Fred Korematsu's story, I think, is really an inspiration for us today to see that we, too, can stand up and speak up for what we believe in. We can speak up against what we think is wrong. And, you know, many Bay Area residents have already done that in marches, contacting their elected officials. So I think Fred Korematsu would be, if he were living today, he would be right up there at the front of the protest marches.
He already has the sign up, right? If people want to get this book, can they get it online?
They can get it online. A lot of Bay Area bookstores have been very supportive. So go to your local independent bookstore, and if they don't have it, ask them to order it. And yes, you can get it at Amazon, Heyday Books. I think you can buy directly through them as well if you go to the Heyday Books website.
So let me just let you know what the title of this book is. Fred Korematsu Speaks Up. It's part of a series, Fighting for Justice, written by Laura Atkins and Stan Yogi, who I am so pleased to have met and talked to here at Clarendon Elementary School, where a lot of the youngsters have grandparents who had very, very similar experiences as Fred Korematsu. This is Carol Kosovar, looking at education on KALW.